our payroll. She's on sick leave. And then according to the
why do you press it? No report. My question is only for PMG now.
Sehr fahren müssen.
Thank you, Secretary. Good morning, MD, the department, our honorable members. My name is Nsue Begwa. I propose the name of Honorable Mabasa to be the chair of this meeting. Thank you.
The name of Honorable Begwa has been proposed. Any second? Oh, sorry. The name of Honorable Mabasa has been proposed. Any second? Honorable Chapa.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Ndumi Solaslot Chapa. I hereby second the nomination of Honorable Mabasa as Chairperson of the Station. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chapa. The Honorable Chapa has seconded the name of Honorable Mabasa. Any further nomination? Honorable. So now we'll then request Honorable Mabasa to come forward and chair the meeting. Thank you.
Hey.
Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee, particularly the Minister, Deputy Minister Tavete, and the team from the department. You are all welcome. And we have the draft agenda before us. And item one has already been executed. And we do wish the chairperson a speedy recovery. But in addition to the chairperson on serious illness, we also have Member November also seriously ill, but I take it I'm speaking on behalf of the committee when I say we wish both of them speedy recovery. But when we speak to the agenda that is before us, the secretary wishes to propose one item. Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. I hereby propose that before we can take the apologies and then we put the consideration and the adoption of the 40-term committee program.
The fourth term committee program is before us. It's proposed that we look at it before we go to apologies. Let me ask you to lead us, Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've got a proposed fourth term program for the committee. which then started yesterday, whereby we had a meeting on the 11th of October, where we got the briefing from the Auditor General, and then we are supposed also to get the briefing from the Financial Fiscal Commission. So unfortunately, the Financial Fiscal Commission could not make it because they said they are not capacitated, and then their commissioners were already engaged in other committees. So they had proposed the date of the week between the 17th and the 19th. But then it seems as if it won't be possible, because by the 19th we should have been done with the report. So on the 12th is today's meeting, whereby we're expecting a briefing from the Department of Small Development, Business Development, on their annual report. My apologies, there it's written annual performance plan, it's supposed to be annual report. Thank you. Sorry for that. And then in the afternoon, we're expecting the briefing from the Small Enterprise Finance Agency on their also annual report. And then on Thursday, which is tomorrow between past 9 and 1, we'll be expecting a briefing by CEDA on their annual report also. So this annual report, they are forming the basis for the BRRR report. Then we're having also the meeting on the 19th of October, which is next week Wednesday, where we'll be doing the first consideration of the budgetary report review and recommendations report. Then on Friday, we'll be getting a second opportunity of considering and adopting it. Then on the 26th of October, we'll be looking and considering the oversight report, the oversight of Limpopo. Then on 27th and 28th October, Thursday and Friday, the committee has received an invitation from the SPDI on the colloquium, policy colloquium. So now we have put it in the program pending the approval from the House Chair. Then on the 2nd of November, Wednesday, we'll be considering the DFI's report that we still outstanding. And then on Wednesday, the 9th, we'll be considering and adopting the KZN oversight workshop report. On Friday, the 11th, we'll be expecting the briefing from the Department of Small Business on the progress on the implementation of a program review project. On Wednesday, the 16th of November, we'll be expecting the briefing from the department on the progress in the department's cooperative development model pilot project, which is in KwaZulu-Natal. On Friday, the 18th of November, we'll be getting a presentation from the chairperson on the cooperative-based community economic development. And then we'll also get the briefing from the department on the framework on an integrated project steering committee for the department's cooperative development model pilot project, that one that is in KwaZulu-Natal. Then on Wednesday, the 23rd of November, we'll be expecting the briefing from the Department of Small Business Development on their 2016-17 second quarter performance report. And then on the week of the 29th till the 2nd of December, it is an oversight with its committees and oversight, and then there's a proposal that we go back to KwaZulu-Natal to finish and see those pilot projects that are the projects that are funded by the department. So Chairperson is the proposed committee, fourth term committee program.
Thank you very much, Secretary Kunene. here is the proposal that's put before us. Honorable Kruger?
Chair, I don't have a problem with the program. It's just our oversight that last week, we can just make sure that we don't stay far away from the project. That we rather stay in that town. I saw there was a lot of guest houses around there so that we can minimize travel. Because, you know, especially on this oversight, in KwaZulu-Natal, we travel for 2-3 hours a day and we lose a lot of time. So if we can just make sure that we that look at places close to the town. Thank you, Chair.
I think the principle makes sense in all oversight visits. We should try to stick to that principle. Is that the view of the committee? As a matter of principle?
Yes.
Thank you. Bab Khoza?
Yeah, Chairperson, whilst I'm not against the view that we have to stay very close, but I want to suggest that in future we look at how we spread our oversight visit, not to be channeled in one province. Thank you.
That will be looked at, to be noted as well. Can I take it that Honorable Kruger was moving with that amendment and Honorable Khoza was seconding with a comment? Shall I take it that way?
Yes.
Moved and seconded?
I'm happy.
Thank you. Having done that, we now get into the area of apologies, Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Apologies that you have received. We have received an apology of the minister who we have received a letter of apology from the minister who is abroad accompanying the president to BRICS in India. She has indicated that she will be going to the DG, and then she will also get a communique which stated that the minister has requested the deputy minister to lead the delegation of the department. We've got that standing apology of Miss November, who is hospitalized. We also have an apology of the chairperson, who is still on sick leave. And then those are the apologies that I've received. However, Mr. Mwabe indicated that also he may not be with us the whole day because he's got another portfolio committee, which is next door. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. At this point, having noted those apologies, let's now ask Deputy Minister Tabete to introduce the team that she is with, so that after that introduction, that will be taking us to the item of the briefing by the Department of Small Business. So for those two items, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the committee and the officials from the department as well as the entities that are here today. For us, I think it is that time of day that we have to come back to the committee to report on what our budget has been spent on in terms of the 2015-16 allocation. And the report, I think, has been sent to yourself before, and we hope that we'll be able to have a frank discussion and debate, I think, on how we have performed, and hope that we'll also get some of the recommendations then if there's somewhere where members feel that we have. But I've got a team here today led by the acting director general, who's our CFO. together with the acting DDG, as well as the chief directors that are here in the house and all the other officials, including the ministry. I think we've got the advisor next to me, as well as in my office, the head of my office, Advocate Lane, is also here. So DDG, Maki, I think, is the one that is going to be assisting the DG, as well as the whole team, not only the two of them. I think the whole team is here to make sure that we can answer to questions that are going to pose and the engagement that are going to have with yourselves for the 2 days. So mine, I think, is to introduce then the DG, the acting DG, who's our CFO, to then lead the discussion or present to yourselves. I'm not sure how they discuss among themselves on who's going to do the presentation and who's going to, but I think for the questions, all of them I'm sure will be available to answer, as well as the two entities that are before us, CEDA, fresh from the box, Chief Executive Officer, and then Chikwatamba. I'm battling to get to the new Senate. I know her as Mandisa Majenzi. Now I'm trying, battling so hard. Halfway I want to say Ma, and then I say, oh, Chikwatamba. I'll get you to the new Senate, but I'm sure she's going to lead Sifa. And then Sifa, we've got Ndate Takane, who's here with the team, I'm sure also from Sifa, as well as the Sifa team. So we are here today and tomorrow to make sure that we can be able to make the best of what I think our department can do. But I think this is just more accountability on how we've used the money. So with those few words, I hand over to the acting director general and the team. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sempete Uosterbank. Ordinarily, I'm the CFO at the department. Thank you, Deputy Minister, members of the committee. I am not alone, as DM has already alluded. I am with the team from the Department of Small Business Development. I will quickly request them to introduce themselves, starting from my right to the end of the table.
Morning. My name is Shumali Matobo, and I'm the acting CFO.
Good morning. My name is Mzopolo Maki, acting DDG.
Good morning, the name is Mujalifa Mohoto, Chief Director of Enterprise Development.
Good morning, Bridget Peterson, Chief Director of Corporate Services.
Good morning, my name is Tsoko Makua, the Acting Head of the Office of the Director General.
Good morning, Lindo Mkumane, Chief Director, Department of Mobility.
Good morning. My name is Noku Manyelo from the Office of the Deputy Minister, responsible for Media and Parliamentary Affairs.
Good morning. My name is Winston Baki, Director in the Office of the Director General.
Thank you, Chair.
Are you through?
We are done with the introduction.
We are done.
Yes.
Just before we go ahead then, because we don't have tags before members today, let me ask members to introduce themselves, starting from Honorable Kruger that side.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Andrew Kruger, and thank you. Enjoy the meeting.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Toby Chan, and welcome to the new CEO of CEDA.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Simbu Webber. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ndumiso Thapa. If I appreciate Ndumiso one day.
My name is Timothy Kozma.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to everyone. I'm Spoon Mother.
Thank you. Secretary, introduce your team, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Secretariat comprises of Ms. Nola Chobotwane, the committee assistant right there. And then we've got Mr. Sibusiso Kumete, who's the content advisor for the committee. And then we've got Mr. Konsile Mkachi, who's also the senior content advisor of the committee. Thank you. We've got Nomta Zikresha, who's the executive secretary to the chairperson. I think just step out. Thank you.
From PMG, introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Unasi Lassi from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning. My name is Louisa Fonda from Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Is there anyone that's not introduced to please introduce himself or herself?
They are from the entity, that's from the department to the
city. Yeah, please, if you could come closer, just to introduce yourselves quickly.
Good morning.
You could do it from here. You could do it.
I thought Mr. King would have introduced me. Okay, my name is Justice Mulafo, from Parliament Communication, assistant the Committee for Communication.
Kino Peterson, Head of Parliamentary Media for the ACDP.
Good morning, I am Dudu Lenzi, I'm the Head of the Deputy Minister's Office. She had already introduced me earlier.
I'll read that from SIFA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ken Mulisiwa from IDC.
Good morning. I'm Viola Matilisa from SIFA.
So we are all at one.
Yes.
Let's then have the acting DG to proceed as handed the task by Deputy Minister. Honourable Chance?
Sorry, I didn't catch you saying, or the department saying, where the DG is today. I'm not sure I heard you say, Deputy Minister, is she away on business, or?
Who wants to speak to that, Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Chair. The apology that was read said that the Minister is accompanying the President to BRICS Summit together with the DG. That's why it was the acting DG.
Thank you.
We do have about 29 slides of information. I'll try and go through them as quickly as I can. We as a department are happy to announce or to present to the committee our 2015-16 financial year annual report. The outline talks to the vision, mission and strategic objectives, overall performance and financials, performance by program as well as the related financials, financial report as well as the audit outcome or the audit report. Our mandate as a department derives from the vision that we want to see a radically transformed economy through effective development and increased participation of SMMEs and cooperatives in the mainstream economy. Our mission being to create a conducive environment for the development and growth of small businesses and cooperatives through the provision of enhanced financial and non-financial support services and leveraging public and private procurement. We intend to my screen is a bit too small. Chair, I'll ask Mr. Bashis to drive the slide for me while I read from my own laptop. Here. Thank you. How we want to deliver or how we plan to deliver on our mandate, we're hoping that it will be through an integrated approach to the promotion and development of small businesses and cooperatives while striving to ensure that the values that drive us are customer focused and that we deal honestly with everybody that we interact with, be accessible, have integrity, and be efficient as well as being committed to the mandate of the department. The strategic objectives of our department are aligned to government priorities. The main one being the National Development Plan, Vision 2030, Chapter 3 and Chapter 6, wherein Chapter 3 requires that we operate in an economy that will create jobs, that is also inclusive and integrated as expressed in Chapter 6. We also contribute towards the medium-term strategic framework, Outcome 4 and Outcome 7. Our own strategic objectives for the 2015-16 financial year being that we would facilitate development and growth of small businesses, facilitate radical economic transformation, advocate for regulatory environment that is conducive, facilitate partnerships within all spheres of government and the private sector. We're going to be looking at the overall performance and financials. We as a department for the 2015 financial year had 31 key performance indicators. We achieved 13 of those, partially achieved 8, and could not achieve 10 of those. Whilst at the same time we were allocated a budget of 1.1 billion, we spent 1 billion under 100 million of that. We underspent by 28 million, which translates to 97.5% of the budget being spent and 2.5% of the budget being underspent. Overall, as a department, this being our maiden annual report since inception, we have delivered under a constrained budget environment. We have launched the National Gazelles, FinFind, NEBAS, New Generation Cooperative Model. We have undertaken a program review which led to us crafting a new vision and a service delivery model. Our political head, the minister, reached out to the public and stakeholders, creating awareness on the services that we provide as well as those that are provided by our agencies. Around cooperatives, we have managed to link critical market value chain, mostly in the agricultural sector. We have managed to develop skills through 227 partnerships. made funding available to 246 primary cooperatives that were funded through the cooperative incentive scheme. What we did not achieve was around the incubation support program. This is being implemented in the 2016-17 financial year. Overall performance around the informal businesses, we were able to roll out the informal traders upliftment program, or what is termed ITAP, by training 1,037 businesses. What we did not achieve was the infrastructure development upgrade. The pilot program that was planned was not successful. We have revised the guidelines so that these are aligned to the departmental development plans. In terms of support for entrepreneurship, collaborations with TVET colleges, we have five centers that, for entrepreneurship that were developed, that were established. Each institution incubated 30 learners each year, benefiting 150 graduates and communities. Centers launched in KZN, that is the Durban University of Technology, in Limpopo, Vembe, Tibet, Northern Cape, Vaal University of Technology, and in the Northern Cape would be Upington. Northwest, Orbit Technology in the Eastern Cape, Ikala, Tibet. The spread of the centers for entrepreneurship in collaboration with the Tibet colleges. Around collocations, implementing an integrated complementary services to increase business support services in townships and rural areas. We have 29 co-location points that were established throughout the country. And this is a geographic spread in terms of the table that represents in line with the number of co-locations or per province. In the Eastern Cape, we've got in Queenstown, Mount Alice, Mthatha, Free State, Pietarichaba, Sasolburg, Belcom, and Tromsburg, Gauteng, Kempton Park, Klerksdorp, Vereeniging, Pretoria, KwaZulu-Natal, Port Shepstone, Ikopo, Dundee, Newcastle, Ladysmith, Pietermaritzburg, Limpopo, Groblersdal, Thohoyandou, Modimolle, or Mokopane. And Mokopane, Mpumalanga, Westbank, Northern Cape, Kuruman, DR, Springbok, and Upington. The Northwest, Rybeck, Klerksdorp, Mahikeng, Western Cape, Bredasdorp, George, Worcester, and Saldanha. Performance by program and financials follows next. The legend there is that where you see green, all activities have been achieved. Amber, we have partially achieved, and red is where we have not achieved. Program 1 had 9 key performance indicators, 7 were achieved, 2 were partially achieved, there are none that were not achieved in totality. The budget allocated for Program 1 was 80.9 million. We spent 66.5 million of that, underspend 14.4, and the percentage spent is 82.2%, and we underspend by 17.8%. And the reason for variances, we had vacancies that amounted to 9.5 million and the related goods and services, as well as capital expenditure that was delayed because of the relocation that was planned from the department occupying various office spaces within the DTI campus to one block in within the DTI campus itself. The indicators that we had for Program 1, the vacancy rate, we had set a target for ourselves at to be at 10%. We partially achieved that. As we ended the year, we were sitting at 16.3%. The department continues to prioritize the appointment of critical posts through the implementation of the human resources plan. We had set a staff turnover at 12%, but this is where we were able to keep it at 9%, which means we have met and exceeded the target by 3%. We had hoped to have 3.2 of our staff establishment as people with disabilities. We have partially achieved sitting at 2.7, which in fact is also 0.5% higher than the national target. Women employed at SMS level, we had hoped to have 45%. We ended the year with 50.1 women in SMS position, which also exceeded the national target by 0.1%. In terms of the national target is 0.1, but in terms of our target, we exceeded by 5.1%. The requirement by government for creditors to be paid or valid invoices to be paid within 30 days. All of the invoices that were received were processed within 30 days. We had said we'd be able to have 16 multimedia awareness campaigns. 15. We got to 19, exceeded by 4%. Outreach programs and exhibitions. We had looked at 8 events and 15 outreach programs. We've been able to have 31 events and 29 outreach programs. We thought we would have 8 exhibitions. We ended up with 35 exhibitions, thus exceeding target. For program 2, we had 6 key performance indicators. We were able to achieve 2, partially achieve 3, and 1 indicator was not achieved. The budget for the program is 12 million being the lowest, and expenditure was 11.7 with an underspending of 549. Percentage wise, this is the best performing program in terms of finances, even though the one target that was not achieved equates to 16.7%. ATP indicators. We had said we would increase the number of establishments. We would increase the number of cooperatives linked to the market value chain. The target was 3. We were able to achieve 37. As a result of the department collaborating with various partners, especially in the agriculture sector, that led to cooperatives in rural areas being linked to the market value chain. We had hoped to have 9 incubators to support cooperatives. We could not deliver on the target as the delivery tools were outside the department's control. This is one of those, in terms of the transition from the DTI into DSBD, the budget item had remained within the DTI, and it was still in transition for us to be able to finalize. We thought we'd be able to consult and table proposed amendments to the National Small Business Act. We partially achieved because we could conduct stakeholder consultations concerning the amendments. However, we could not table the proposed amendments as planned. And this is the result being that the stakeholder consultations took place and are still taking place. even in the 2016-17 financial year. In relation to the primary cooperatives receiving funding, training and access to markets, we had 214 as our target, but we were able to reach out to 473 primary cooperatives. Number of secondary cooperatives. One secondary cooperative received funding. That was our target. And the target was for us to provide funding, training, and access to markets. But that was partially achieved because we made funding available to one, and two cooperatives received training support. We did not provide the markets to secondary cooperatives, hence it's a partial achievement. We just trained and provided funding. And the implementation of the National SMME and Cooperative Development Program, we were supposed to have quarterly coordination and reporting on the framework activities. We only did three. Quarterly, they meant four. So we partially achieved by getting three quarterly meetings between the department and provincial governments. Reports on the outcome and recommendations of the meetings were completed. Quarter two meeting did not take place, hence the partial achievement. For program three, we had 16 key performance indicators. We achieved four. Partial achieved three, and nine were not achieved. And this basically is the least performing of our programs, in that we also have most of our budget in program three, but most of that budget is related to transfers, which were 100% achieved. We have a budget of $1 billion in there and $34 million, and we spend $1 billion and $21 million. We have underspent by $13.7 million, which is 98.7%, and an underspend of 1.3. Most of that related to the vacancies and the related business services and capital requirements. The plan target was for us to develop a business case for disbursing the funds and lobby the private sector to contribute to the fund. And a business case for disbursing the funding was developed. The department transferred the implementation of the fund to our small enterprises finance agency. The challenge here again is that CIFA is still awaiting to get the BEE facilitator status from the DTI. The other issue again is that the department tried to lobby the private sector to contribute to the fund, and that did not materialize. And if, as I've indicated, we have also transferred the funds into CIFA, which is also requiring a BEE facilitator accreditation from the DTI, and I'm not so sure at this stage how far the process is of getting that accreditation. From the CEO, it's still not provided. We thought we would identify and package five SMMEs and cooperatives as franchises. This did not happen. We could only establish for the financial year governance committees during the year, and we also went out on tender, and this was facilitated through the DTI, and the SLA was finalized this year. Signing of MOAs, we thought we would have three for entrepreneurship established. We were able to achieve five. The next slide. Capacity building and co-location of CEDA branches, 25 co-location points to be established. We were able to have 29 co-location points established. We collaborated with CEDA and CIFA and other partners in order to establish these co-location points. We thought we would also establish an upgrade existing infrastructure in 5 identified municipalities. And this is one of those areas that we underachieved because we did not manage to establish or upgrade any existing informal business infrastructure as planned. But we have also been able to revise the guidelines on the shared economic infrastructure facility in order to open a potential for more partners, including the private sector, engaging the project expertise of DBSA and aligning our approach to each municipality's development plans. And we thought we would have 50 beneficiaries to the Youth Black Business Supplier Development Program, and none were attracted or supported. The guidelines for the Emerging Enterprise Development Program, through which YIBBSDP was to be implemented, were not approved at the time because the department was undergoing a program review, which recommended that the youth and women programs be mainstreamed into the existing departmental programs. We thought we would also train 100 youth in the new venture creation program, and that was also not achieved. Because of the mainstreaming, the review and the mainstreaming, we do not have interventions that are specific to sectors because we have decided we would be mainstreaming through the program review that was undertaken by the department. And we thought we'd have 82 women entrepreneurs supported, and also related to the review program review of mainstreaming gender and youth into other departmental programs that was also not achieved. And we also thought we would have 300 women entrepreneurs trained. We only managed to train 249 women entrepreneurs under the Babumila Skills Development Program. We underperformed by 51. The issue around training and infrastructure development improvement of 1,000 informal retail businesses, we could only, we trained 1,037. However, we did not provide the infrastructure improvement as in line with the target set, hence this was a partial achievement. Number of enterprises and implemented an implementing agency supported to implement the cross-customized sector plan. We could sign five, we thought we would sign five MOUs and support 450 enterprises through the implementing agencies. We were able to achieve the target, and also in terms of the MOAs or MOUs, but we exceeded the target by supporting 776 against the target of 450. Through the implementing agencies. Financial performance overview, DSPD, as I've indicated earlier, spent 97.5% of the budget. We underspent by 28 million. This would include transfers, but when we exclude transfers, the department would have spent 83.2% of the budget, resulting in an underspending of 28.5 million. There's a graphical display of the percentages that I spoke to and the performance in terms of targets and indicators. Slide 34, performance per economic classification. Compensation of employees, our adjusted budget was 111 million. We spent 93 million of that. We underspent overall on personnel by 18.4 million. Goods and services, our adjusted budget was 53.4. We spent 44.3 million, underspent by 9 million. Transfers and subsidies, which make the bulk of our allocation, we had an adjusted budget of 958 million. We transferred most of that money, except 152,000. Payments of capital assets, we had an adjusted budget of 4.2 million. We spent 3.2 million with an underspending of 1 million. Which gives us the overall underspending of 28.6 or 2.5%. Reasons for underspending,
As a newly established department, there were 29 vacancies that resulted in that 18.4 million. Goods and services would have also expected to understand if you have vacancies that relate, you would have related activities that would have led to an underspending. Payment for capital assets is quite cold in here. Payments for capital assets, delays in capital spending as a result of lags in terms of relocating, as earlier pointed, from various floors within the DTI to one location for our department, even though it's still within the DTI campus. Revenue performance, we are not a revenue generating department. The money that we received, 121,000, related mainly to money that we collect from officials on parking, commission that is deducted from FERSAL for all the deductions, and we also had recoveries from cooperatives amounting to 68,000. In terms of the AG's report, the department received an unqualified audit opinion. We had one non-compliance matter worth 1.8 million, which is irregular expenditure. For training, I spoke to training related to Bavumile earlier on, wherein because the cost, the overall cost was 1.8 million, an open bid process was not followed. Instead, quotations were sourced, and when the amounts were combined together for various trainings in provinces, AG felt that we needed to have gone on an open bid tender, open bid process, because the entire training would have been for the same activity. And we have disclosed the amount in our financial statements as regular. The management report that we received had 35 findings, and there's a graphic display of the findings that were made by AG. We have since developed an audit matrix, and we monitor progress on a monthly basis. Quarterly, we report to the audit committee. And we also do report to EXCO. Looking ahead, we are implementing the APP under the new objectives and programs in line with the approved annual performance plan. We are forging ahead with partnerships with the rest of government partners that will help us to deliver on our mandate. We are also unlocking the potential of SMEs and cooperatives as required or as outlined in the pillar of the 9-point plan and the NDP, and we're also addressing and improving on the findings that were made by AG in our maiden audit.
Thank you, Acting DG. Any comments, Deputy Minister, before we hand over to members?
I'm not sure from the team whether there's anything that has been omitted or not recently by the acting DG. Otherwise, I'm okay. We are waiting. I think the questions can be answered. Is that okay? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Members, may I note you? I'm noting Honorable Kruger. Honorable Chance. Honorable Doctor, Honorable Cousin, and then okay. So let's go to Honorable Kruger.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you also for this performance of presentation. Chair, I'll be just on a few questions. Firstly, I'd just also like the department to explain to us the purpose of this co-location voice? That's the one question. And then also, when do you plan to table the amendment of the National Small Business Act? Is there any deadline for that? And also, when will the guidelines of the Emerging Enterprises Development Program be approved and implemented? When is this going to happen? And then the last question, Chair, is I don't see anything about reducing red tape program in this report. So I just want to get clarity about that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Charles.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Yes, I'd just like to...
your mic, Honourable Kruger.
Some clarity on the strategic review outcome. I know that in a previous meeting we talked about how the strategic review had been adopted or not adopted or partially adopted by the government. If you could just come back with a little bit more detail on that, please. I'd like to know what is the difference between the ISP and the Enterprise Incubation Program. Is the Enterprise Incubation Program the department's interim substitute for the ISP? Or is it something different? And when the ISP comes over to the department, if it does, will the two effectively be the same thing? What do you think was the reason for the non-success of the Infrastructure Development and Upgrade Program? I mean, was it, for example, because it was sort of a bit of an overreach on your side in terms of ambition, and that actually you needed to have the support of local economic development departments to assist in that? The Centers for Entrepreneurship, it's good that you are starting to get these going, but I'd like to know how many of your interns are actually starting and running businesses? And if so, do you have any statistics on those businesses? Are they successful? Are they creating jobs? What sectors are they in? And so on. In terms of the co-location collaboration, between CEDA and CIFA. Certainly many of the feedback sessions we've had from small businesses, they find the fact that they have to go to two offices, one for finance, one for non-conventional support, to be a problem. And does this not then reopen the question of whether CEDA and CIFA should consider a closer collaboration, if not a merger, which is something that this committee has discussed on a number of occasions. I'd like to hear your view on that. What are the key positions that are still to be filled in your vacancy rate? And I know we discussed that briefly yesterday, but perhaps that could be addressed by yourself. Your outreach and marketing is impressive, and I'd like to know how is the department paying for this? Is it coming out of a marketing budget? I don't recall there being much of a marketing budget, or is it coming out of collaborations? If you could just maybe talk a bit about the most successful of those exhibitions and events and really what it's done to build the profile of the department. Then the question of linkages to market value chains. Again, what are the economic outcomes of those linkages? It's all very well to talk about linkages, but have those linkages actually led to business? It's interesting to, you know, to note again that this committee is trying to get the department to focus on outcomes as opposed to activity. Does the incubation support program have cooperative incubators? I know that was a KPI not achieved, but as far as I'm aware, the ISP is not really focusing on too much on cooperatives, but maybe I'm wrong. Perhaps you could just elaborate on that. Then related to the stakeholder consultations on the amendments to the Act, how were these stakeholder consultations advertised? Who came to them? How many of them were there? And I just make that point because I saw an advert in a newspaper, I think the day before the consultation was due to take place in Woodmead. And if I was somebody who was interested in going, I would be a bit peeved at the fact that it wasn't advertised sooner. But I'd just like to know, you know, to what extent those consultations have been advertised and how many have been conducted. Then on the matter of co-ops, why is there so little attention paid to secondary co-ops? You know, primary co-ops are often battling because they don't have the support that they need. This is what secondary co-ops are for. Is the department planning to review its focus on primary as opposed to secondary co-ops? Then also on the question of co-ops, I think there may be a lot of overlap and duplication between the department and the Department of Agriculture and Social Development, who also have a mandate to develop co-ops. And is the department not looking at a transversal agreement or some form of consolidation of its policy towards co-ops with those two departments in particular? On the question of the funding, I'm not quite sure that I understand the difference between what the department is trying to do in raising funds for lending and what FIDA was already doing. Why was it even attempting to do something which was different from FIDA's mandate? And why was it not successful in raising money from the private sector? Was the attempt to raise equity funding from the private sector, loan funding, what type of funding were you trying to raise? And why, again, was it not successful? Another thing which I find problematic is the informal business uplift facility, targeted 1,000 informal businesses. Now, I think we've made this point again in the past, but there are probably 3 million informal businesses in this country. So you're targeting a percentage of 0.03% of the total number of businesses. How can that in any way be claimed as impactful? Which goes to the question, I think, that was raised in the review of the department's role should be more horizontal, mainstream, facilitative, rather than deep and trying to be implemented, if you get the drift. I'd just like to get a view on that. And then final question, sorry for all my questions, but the final question is the recovery of 68,000 rand from the co-ops. Why is there a recovery from a grant? The CIS is a grant. And funnily enough, when we went to the oversight visit to KZN a few weeks ago, we were told by some of the co-ops that they had to repay the money, which we found to be irregular. So is there not some communication problem? Or are some of the co-ops actually expected to repay the grant? Thank you.
On Corporate GAPA.
Thank you, Chair. Only two for now. One on slide 22. I would like to be convinced that no one can suspect that the targets there were deliberately made too low so as to make an achievement too high. And secondly, there is that underspending of 50%, which is also, to my understanding, too high. Now, there is the account, the explanation on the vacancies. I would also like the department to convince us that this high vacancy rate cannot be justified, that this tells anyone that the department can perform better without this personnel which is not there. Thank you.
Rabkoza.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Mine is a little bit of requesting for a little bit of schooling here in terms of understanding the meaning of regular visits. Because somewhere in the presentation we speak about the regular visits. Vis-a-vis, there's an understanding in somewhere you speak of weekly visit, but it's the regular visit. I want to get an understanding of what we mean by that. And also go to page 19 of the presentation where we talk of the plan target, actual achieved, and the deviation from the plan target. Somewhere, somehow, I'm seeing a 12% on the staff turnover rate as the planned one and an actual achievement of 9%. But linked to that is an exceeded target by 3%. Help me understand that. If you achieve 9% after having planned for 12%, I don't have to go to the 12% of what, but I'm saying looking at the 12 and the 9, then just below that, the human employment SME level, the plan is 45%, which I'm understanding. And the actual that is achieved is 50.1%. And if you come to the exceeded, it exceeded the target by 5.1. Then compare that one with the above one. Is there no contrast of the presentation in terms of, I wonder whether Chairperson, through you, whether I'm making a point very clean here. Because I also picked up the 300, that is somewhere in page 29, vis-a-vis the 251 or 249 of some kind. Then that prompted me to say there's something wrong with the 12% planned and 9% achieved. But we are exceeding by 3%. I think it must be a vice versa of some kind, if for that matter can be assisted. I'm also worried about the use of percentage, because percentage of what? To me, it is a little bit tricky if you speak of percentages. Then how do you understand of the percentage? Is it a percentage of 5 or 25 or 30 or 90 or 100? So I'm saying the use of numbers could better save us to understand more. Chairperson, can I find out whether the department has got a plan in place to overcome the underspending, that is the red that is there in most of the columns? Are we having a plan to overcome those? I also need a little bit of an understanding as to the irregular expenditure of 1.8 million. Whether I got it correctly, that it emanated from the outsourcing for the training activities that are taking place. Perhaps it was two true provinces or the NICA, which emanated from perhaps using less than 500 million in terms of that. Then gradually it accumulated to the 1.8, then the reason of outsourcing. Perhaps I can be able to be assisted in terms of that one. Thank you, Chairperson, or Acting Chairperson.
Babunabe?
Firstly, Chair, I was hoping that you stop Honorable Chance from taking all our questions. Unfortunately, you didn't. Some of us are victims of this. But I will just go for a characteristic question, Chair, on page 26. No, sorry, page 25, under program 3. I just need a guarantee. I think one of the couples will touch on this, on the reasons for underspending. Then you speak of vacancies, 8.8 million related goods, 4.2 million and capital requirements of 49. I just need a much clearer explanation. I'm not much clearer on this one as a reason for underspending. Thanks, Chair.
Babu Bekwa?
No, thanks, Chair. Let me first appreciate...
Your mic, please.
Oh.
No, thanks, Chair. Let me just firstly appreciate the presentation. I won't be much... I'm just going to check on page 9. Informal businesses. Infrastructure development and upgrade. You said the program was not successful. And the department revised guidelines, alignment approach, development plans. Can you provide the committee with the time frames on that? What the time frames? When are you going to do that? On page 14, you spoke of the co-locations increased accessibility. You mentioned all the provinces and even it was Zulu Natal. And fortunately for me, the Ikopo rural area where I'm staying. I just want to find out if the department do some follow-ups on those co-locations so that we know exactly what is happening. Is it really assist the department on the mandate that the department has been given to, or with the policy of our government, that we create more jobs and we assist the people, especially in terms of funding? Are those co-locations assisting our people? On page 22, the department, you said in your presentation the incubation support programs still remain under the DTI. I find it very difficult if even today we are still saying there are some functions that are still in DTI. What is the department doing to make sure that all the functions are back in the department so that the department can function? I think, Chair, I will agree with Honorable Mwabe that Honorable Chancellor does take all our questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just some few, two or three more. One is the department achieved less than 50% of its KPIs, but the expenditure was 97%, or the underspending, or with the underspending of 2%. If we can have more clarity on that. Then the second one on program 3, the KPIs and the budget expenditure do not tally. Why the discrepancy? And the last one is that when we speak of the vacancy rate or that area of vacancies, is the department consciously aware that the higher the vacancy rate, the lower will be the production of the department, because you planned for those posts, and what led to planning for those posts was a need. So if that need is by design not fulfilled, is that not an obvious route to failure? And I ask this also in view of a comment that was made by the Auditor General, especially if some of these vacancies have a ripple effect in the sense, if it's somebody at the post is at a very high level, the gap that's created by that person, by the time we go to delivery level, it has multiplied itself negatively. So if you could please comment on that. And Deputy Minister, your floor, Mama.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think The questions are quite straightforward, most of them. The team, I'm sure, will handle them, and I can come then when there are issues to be raised. But maybe just for the one question that was I think by Honorable Chance and the other member, in terms of the exhibition and what comes out of it, and is there anything that is positive as a department, as well as the incubators, I mean, how many jobs have been created and so forth. Those two in particular, is that one? The exhibitions, I don't think that we've got an answer that can be accurate for today's meeting. But I think that we must take from those, all of the exhibitions that they've exhibited, what has translated into, whether we've created jobs with people who attended and make sure that maybe they've got leads and all those. I think those we can come back to the committee with accurate reports that on this exhibition, at least 5 or 10 of the exhibitors got orders or got what? For example, the Decorex. It happened, I think, earlier on, but even for last year. Some of the people who exhibited there got the orders up to about 500,000 of what they got from the exhibition. Some were promising and all those. So to get an accurate answer, we'll be able to go back to those and then check with the individuals who participated that we support it. May not get the answer. But if they've got some preliminary answers to that, I think I would appreciate that. The question of the incubators and whether they are creating jobs in terms of also the centers for entrepreneurship. It differs from incubation to incubation. My experience is that you won't get the actual numbers, but you can get the success stories out of people who attended that particular training, and after that, what is it that they have learned? That was the incubators are providing them a platform to start with their businesses and have linkages for a period of 18 months to about 2-3 years, then they can start on their own. One example that I do know, it is a person that was assisted by the Smart Exchange. It was not this department, it was still the DTI, I think 2013, 2012. That person is in the ICT sector. He then moved out of the incubator to start his own business. Zibugo Mkuno from KZN that attended the Smart Exchange incubator. He's now, in fact, he's a good story to tell because his parents, when he dealt with his degree, and afterwards he said, I want to start my own business. He was disowned by his father, chucked away, literally, to say, how can I take you to the varsity, pay the last money that we have, and you come out here, you want to start your own business. We thought it would be, in fact, he was employed by a company. He then said, I want to start a business of my own. He was disowned and all that. Then he started this business, and he succeeded. The father then had to accept him back again in the family. But he's doing quite well in terms of a young person who's from a Smart Exchange incubator in KZN, and is one example that I can be able to talk to. And he also participated in some of the exhibitions. And I'm sure he can be followed up by the department and check how far is he. But it's one good example. I also visited the incubator in Rustenburg. That's the one that I visited. It was launched earlier on. What I went there to do, it was the launch of the Orbit Entrepreneurship Center that I then had to check what happened from the time that incubator was established and what happened up to this year early or last year. It is this year early? Yeah, this year early when I went there to go and launch the Orbit Rapid Incubation Center now. The report I got was both positive and negative. but they've started now the implementation of the manufacturing in that particular incubator. They have to buy platinum, I think, but their problem was that they get to be sold platinum by the mining company at a price like they are, you know, importing or exporting, high prices for them to manufacture. Fortunately, these are the earrings that were done there that I'm wearing, platinum, half platinum and half whatever that they showed me. And it was good to wear these earrings today to show that this is one of the success stories of people that are trained to do such earrings. Quite of high quality and all that. And don't steal them because I still have to insure them. I've declared that in any way. And I've also asked Ben from the CEO, very active young CEO. She then told me that, I said, what happened after this was launched years back and what we are doing today? She told me that one of the successful stories is that one young person is doing the, we call them the makarapa. These heads for the mining, and some are used for soccer balls, you know, carrots and cheese, whatever. They are using these. He attended that particular incubation training. He opened that company, has created more than 100 jobs. So I said, I'll go back again next year to go and visit that particular company. So I'm sure if some of you can come and see if you've got your own oversight role that you can be able to give. So those are just what of those that are visited to see the before and after and what is it that then we've paid the taxpayers money for. So the total answer may not be here today, but these are just the snippets of what I actually visited to go and see the before and after. I think then the team can answer in terms of what is within their mandate, and then we'll come back, I think, after. So I'm not sure that DG, you want to start, or acting DG, or whoever. DG is ready to start.
Before the DG starts, I want to suggest that we take a 15 minutes tea break, and if we can rush out so that we are able to rush back. Thank you very much.
With regards to
I'm Pega la nave.
The fact is what increases the I'm going to
This mine or yours?
No, this one is yours, this one is mine.
Oh. Yeah. Those minutes, 15 minutes here to mention. Or 15 to Uluya Muntu, eh? With the... No, it's not going to be a match, but... There was a few more questions. So which ones do you want us to do?
Okay, yes, it's really more funny on the separate piece of paper. On a separate piece of paper. I think it's about easier than that. Mobile money is just statements, not necessarily questions. Advisory statements. No, not this one. Legacy.
Oh, it's your move. Okay.
Yeah.
Do that, and then at lunch we can
go through.
Well, and also then yeah.
No, that was just the internet mode for CIFA. Other DSPD is more or less straightforward.
Okay.
For CIFA, it's a bit of a complex. For instance, okay. Manager, I'm not even aware if you over CIFA is getting the payment of being a board director at CIFA. And yet he's a
Although Marabeo is able to be fully studied,
So now it's not clear if who employed by UCIFA or who is consultant or IIC or CEO Now, it's not clear whether we employ the ITC or ITC appointed as a consultant was a stakeholder in the mobile by virtue of getting paid by a senior for being a board member. If he's a public official, he's not supposed to be getting a payment of being a board of directors by the
Sorry.
Mujalif is also a board member by virtue of him, John Valley, the employee
chief.
You from the department, you are a board member, but you're not getting paid. The CEO, what's the CEO? He's getting paid by you saying that she is a board member.
Yeah, that is being addressed. We had a meeting with the CEO and the DG just a week ago, where we actually talked about this issue. And present this was going to be both of them addressing the issue because they also have identified and decided CIFA is part of government. Therefore, CEO can be paid. In principle, it's not supposed to have a change in address between us.
No, my child has been quiet about it. So that's not
right. Yeah.
But
it's
been
a
Noted something very important. Why was Paz America by his adventure?
I don't know.
Although Naye Mara, he should have known.
Look, Mela, I'm for advising there. If anybody, it's not clear whether he's a consultant or he's an employee for IDC.
Let's take our seats and resume. DG, if you could please start with Honorable Ngwabe's question, because he has to attend next door in the other meeting.
That was sweet. Bottom one is please.
Chair, I don't know if they reminded the DG of my question.
The question was for us to explain the understanding, the reason. Is that
yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. We said the understanding was 13.6 million. And I had also earlier in the presentation through your chair indicated that Program 3 holds our transfers and subsidies to entities. Of that, 1,034,000,000, 958 million of that is for transfers, which then says we are looking at compensation of employees of 57 million, of which we spent 48, and there's an underspending of 8 million, which is basically the vacancies. And as it has been correctly alluded to, if you link vacancies to the activities, it would not make sense if we had spent goods and services money and claimed we have vacancies. Because linked to that is vacancies that needed to be filled for people to do the groundwork. So we have vacancies amounting to 8.8 million. We also have goods and services amounting to 4 million. Program 3 does not have a substantive DDG. That's the program manager. It didn't have and still doesn't have in the financial year. That's the key position. I'm also trying to respond to one of those questions that says which key positions have not been filled. And plus the fact that because that department was undergoing a program review, if you look at those items that we have not fully achieved or have not achieved in relate to, one has to do with the shared services, the other one has to do with the mainstreaming, setting of targeted performance, and the review had said, let's look at making sure that these we mainstream this into the main programs of the department. So when the question is, we don't understand, the 958, which is a transfer, we've done all the transfers, 100% of our transfers were made. So if you remove the transfers from that, we are looking at that 8.7 million plus the 4.2 plus in the transfers we had 152,000, which is quite minuscule in relation to 958, and we had capital expenditure underspending as well, which gives us that 13 million. So I'm not so sure what it is that was not too clear to the member. 8.8 is personnel, 4.2 is related to goods and services that relate to the vacant post, and the remainder is the capital asset. As I had said earlier, we need to buy laptops, we need to buy assets related to the post, so we do not have furniture that is currently idling. We don't have sufficient space as a department, as I said. In the 15-16 financial year, we were sitting in different office spaces within the DTI floors. So at the beginning of June, May, June, we moved to Block G, which is still in the campus. We have bought furniture for some, but not for everybody. We still have to partition the space for us to be able to fit in all the other vacant posts that we will be filling in due course. That's where our saying is related to that. But the people who are supposed to have done the work as well would have contributed to part of the work being achieved, but not all of it could be assigned to vacancy rates. And I hope I'm answering the member's question, Chairperson.
Yeah, let's pause there. Honorable Ngwabe?
I'm satisfied, Chair.
Satisfied, okay. Yeah. Continue, DG.
Thank you, Chair. The other questions, we have shared the responsibility amongst ourselves as members. Questions that relate to programs. one, corporate services will talk to questions that relate to vacancies.
Just one interruption. Just one interruption. Just so that we move, or we all move together. I know, because you are the drafters of the documents, you are more familiar with it than us. So, as you move into pages, as you refer, if you could speak to slide numbers, pages, just at the, as a matter of guidance. Thanks.
We noted the slides, hence I'm saying we have agreed amongst ourselves that questions that have to do with finances will be responded to by the CFO. Program 2, that has to do with vacancies, corporate services will be dealt with by corporate services head. She will also then link to the specific slides that you had referred to. And program 2, we will be looking at Ntatemu Jalifa to assist. And program 3, we'll be looking at Ntatemu Khumani to... Program 2, Ntatemu Khumani. Program 3, Ntatemu Hoto. And we will also get support from our entities where we have joint responsibilities as well around co-locations and our TVET questions that was asked earlier. That's all right with you, Chair. Could we please start with Program 2, Ntate Nkumani? Ntate Nkumani starts. There was a question that we were asked around the program review. And we'd like to request that the program for the quarter has on the 11th of November a date in which the department has to come back to the committee to report on the program review. If we could be allowed to then defer that response to the date.
Who had asked that question? Is that request okay, acceptable?
You said the 11th of November. Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Acting Chair. I will start with the question from Honorable Kruger. He asked two questions. One is about what is the purpose of co-location points, and the second one was about the guidelines, when are they going to be implemented for emerging enterprise development programs. Mainly the purpose of co-location point is to try and cut down on the red tape for small businesses. We want to make sure that all agencies that are dealing with supporting SMEs are in one place. So, for example, what we are trying to do now is to start with the agencies, CIDA and CIFA, and then bring on board SARS, bring on board CITC, IDC, and all these other DFI, so that, you know, it can be easy for SMEs to get financial and non-financial support. So that's the main purpose of the co-location point. Then the second question is on the guidelines. We have started the process of reviewing, because one of the recommendations of the review program was that let's delay this until we finalize the outcomes, because the challenge that we're having now is that there is no instrument that talks to startup businesses in all the incentives that we have, which we inherited from the DTI. They are all asking for a turnover. So if you're starting a new business today, obviously you won't have a turnover. So we've redrafted the EEDP, Emerging Enterprise Development Program. But the challenge that we are having is that we need to get the budget from the existing BBSDP, because there is no new line item and there is no new money that is coming from National Treasury. So what we are thinking we're going to do is that once we approve the guidelines, we're going to set aside money from BBSDP for next financial year, so that we are able to meet the targets that are on the BBSDP for this year, so that we need to adjust downward targets for the BBSDP program. So the guidelines are going to be approved by this quarter, so that they can be announced, and then people can start applying, targeting the beginning of the new financial year, which is 2017-2018. And then there was a question from Honorable Chance on the the IFT and EIP. Maybe it would also answer the question that was asked by, I think it was Honorable Begwa on the IFT that is still under the DTI. The IFT has not moved. So we had to come up with a program that is going to address the challenges that are faced by SMMEs and cooperatives. Honourable members will remember that when we were reporting during the year, we said we submitted, I think, around about 5 applications to the IFP, and they were not funded because we were not meeting the requirements of the DTI IFP. Some of the challenges that we were having is that they were focusing on industrialization, you know, and manufacturing sectors. So we couldn't get our applications approved because of that. Some of them were talking to services sectors, for example. So we had to come up with this program, which is EIP, which is being implemented in this current financial year. And one of the key elements on this EIP is centered around market access, because it doesn't help, you know, to take SMMEs through the incubation process and then don't assist them with market access. You just train them and give them all the skills that they require, but you don't have market access for them. How are they going to make business after or post the incubation period? So it's one of the key things that we've identified in terms of coming up with a market-driven incubator program. And then lastly, the key challenge that was identified through the ISP was the big amount that we asked for. I think it's a 60-40% contribution. So if you are really expecting to draw in the private sector, you come up with a program, but you are putting all these requirements, which, you know, you don't want to invest more than them on the program. We thought it's one of the issues that we identified as a challenge with the ISP. That's why they were not getting the success that they were looking for. So in the revised EIP, we are looking at, in certain instances, we'll have to invest as government 100% so that we can get you know, the uptake of the entities that we want to train. I think the other question that we're asked related to program two was on the consultations. I think one of the chance asked questions about the consultations. I'll respond to the last year's performance. The consultations that we undertaken, I think we covered all 9 provinces where we were consulting with SMMEs, cooperatives, informal businesses. Especially we're targeting those areas where we don't normally go as government. We know that when we're doing consultations, for example, when we go to KZN, we choose Devon. But in this case, what we did is we went to places like Ladysmith because we wanted to get information from those farmland areas. So we're able to do around about 9 consultations in January and February this year, which falls under the last financial year. I know that this year we have already had 2 consultations at a national level. I'm not certain about what's going to happen going forward because I'm no longer responsible for that program, but maybe we'll be able to answer that question when we are presenting our second quarter report. The other question, it was about what we are doing in supporting secondary cooperatives because they are more relevant when it comes to ensuring that primary cooperatives are more sustainable. Yes, we'll agree, Honorable Chance. We know that secondary cooperatives, they should be critical in terms of ensuring that the primary co-ops are supported in terms of, because the people who are involved in primary co-ops, most of them, they just want to do the actual work. They don't have the skills in terms of, for example, going looking for market opportunities, packaging, all those things. So we know that we need to support them. So what we've done, we've come up with the instrument, which is called Secondary Marketing Cooperative Incentive Scheme. This year we are looking at, for example, funding two secondary marketing cooperatives because we are piloting this scheme. It's a little bit costly, and in terms of the budget that we have, we thought we should just start small and then we'll grow depending on the success of the ones that we are piloting this year, because the scheme, I think, goes up to 10 million per secondary cooperative. So we are piloting two this year. We believe that in the future we need to really even look at the co-ops, primary co-ops that we have funded in the past few years, and look at assisting them in terms of coming up with new or coming up with competitive products and all those other things. Then you, Honourable Chairman, you also asked a question about Department of Social Development and DAF. I know that with Department of Social Development already concluded a transversal agreement, because we know that what they are doing, even though their focus is on social development, but they are really funding cooperatives. So for us, it won't be necessary for us to utilize the same CIS to fund the same cooperatives, because they are funding them. So our role there will be just assisting them with the skills development aspect to ensure that these cooperatives that they are funding do not fail. Therefore, we are in discussions with them in terms of also coming up with a transversal agreement, because they are there is only on farmer support. The element of skills development is not their a mandate.
Let me respond to the questions that I've noted, especially belonging to Program 3. Firstly, the question that was asked by Honourable Kruger relating to the red tape. The red tape is actually appearing on the report, on page 45 of the report. It says that it was not, as I mentioned, in the presentation slide. And it has actually been page 45 on the actual report.
Oh,
yes, sorry. So, and perhaps just to mention that the scope of this program was broadened to also look at regulatory protocols across government as a whole. So it's no longer only the red tape reduction only, looking broadly on that program that is implementing it during this current financial year. The other question that was posed by Honourable Chance in relation to the reason of non-implementation of the shared economic infrastructure support, we must say that I think when we actually couched this program, the planning was really behind the plan that were done by the municipalities, because we wanted to leverage on the municipal infrastructure grant, and therefore it meant that it was very difficult for them to actually play a role in this, in a sense that they were supposed to actually go back to their plans, because we actually implemented this, them having actually made plans already. And this appeared on slide 27, relating to the question that was asked. And then the other question by Honourable Chan Steele is the issue of the why were we not successful in raising funding from the private sector, especially on the Emerging Enterprise Fund. I think here the real reason really was that there was no traction from the private sector, in the main because we also did not have what we call facilitator status, VE facilitator status. Hence, when we transfer this to CIFA, one of the first things that we actually looked at was for CIFA to acquire that VE facilitator status so that it can be able to attract the funding from the private sector using VE as a leverage, of course. And then the other question was in relation, that appears on page 30 of the slide, slide 30. The issue around that was asked by Honorable Chance about the number of enterprises, informal enterprises that we are training, that it seems minimal. Yes, it was a small number at the time because we were piloting the program. But at the same time as well, we had issues with budgetary constraints. Hence, you see, during this current financial year, we have actually expanded the program quite a bit so that we can actually attract quite a number of enterprises that we need to support. I think those are the questions I have for this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Could we ask corporate services to speak up? Thank you, Acting Chair. I will go to the questions posed around the vacancy rate as well as the staff turnover rate. So if we could go to slide 19, because this is where it's depicted. So firstly, Honourable Causa asked the question around turnover rate and why a 9% would be seen as exceeded when the target was 12%. So when we talk about staff turnover, the higher the turnover rate or the lower the retention rate of staff. And so if you can keep the turnover rate lower, then the retention rate goes up. And hence it's an achievement if it's below the target. So that's why it exceeded. I hope that explains it. Then there was a question from Honorable Chance around the key positions in terms of the vacancy rate. So as of 31 March, the key vacancies, there were two DDG posts that were vacant. The post of CFO, the post of Chief Director of Corporate Services, Director CIS, Director SEM, Director Human Resource Development, which had just been filled at that point, and Director ICT. Those are the SMS posts. So it's the equivalent of seven SMS posts that were funded, that were vacant, as at 31 March. Just to illustrate, to go to the chair's question, with regard to the understanding of the department in terms of the vacancy rate being high, I thought it important perhaps to put it into context. We had 178 funded posts, 29 vacancies as at 31 March. Seven of them were senior management service posts, as the ones I mentioned. And as at 1 April, the vacancy rate dropped to 11.2%. The CFO post was filled. The CD corporate services was filled. Those are of the SMS posts. And then there were eight other posts that were filled below SMS. As in debit director level to level three. So, this is just to illustrate when we look at a percentage and a number, I thought it important to just put that into context. I do recall that one of the honourable members indicated we're talking about percentages, but can we put that into a number context? So having said that, if we look at the rate, vacancy rate dropping, and the reason for that is that these posts were filled as of the 1st of April. And the vacancy rate continues to drop because there is an effort to fill certain posts. Other posts, like the DDG posts, are null because of the program review. So I hope that also answers the question.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to attempt two questions here. The first one being the question from Honorable Chan on the recovery of 68,000 from the cooperative. As to what happened here, in 2013-14 financial year, there was an error from finance side when we were processing the payment, and we found that we have overpaid one of the applicants by 68,000. We notified the applicant immediately, but unfortunately, the cooperative has already invested the money in the business, and they couldn't pay it back. So when we went back to the incentive unit, we found out that they have another payment which has been approved already, but which was due to be paid to them on next financial year. So we entered into an agreement that since you cannot pay back the money, can we recover the money from your next payment? Of which, unfortunately, that money, when we recover it in 2015-16, it wouldn't go back to the incentive fund because it was relating to the previous year's financial previous financial year. Hence, that money now we had to pay it over to the revenue fund. So I don't remember any different case where an incentive has been requested to pay back the money. I'm not aware of such cases. This is the only case which I was involved in that I am aware of. And in trying to explain how the irregular expenditure came about, we had, before the program review, we had a training called a Bafumile training, which of course it was aimed at enhancing the skills of women, for example, in knitting, craft, and all that. This was done through trainings which were conducted in different provinces all over the province in South Africa. So what happened here, we source quotations from different training institutions. All the quotations or all the trainings that were conducted during the 2015-16 financial year, they were all below 500,000. But unfortunately, some of the service providers, for example, we had a service provider by the name of India Trading and Projects. They were successful in June to conduct a training somewhere, I think, in Kimberley, Eastern Cape, I'm not sure. And again, they were successful in their bidding somewhere in February of 2016. So the first training was 376,000, and the second training was 364,000, of which combined makes it 740, which is more than the 500,000. And AG looked at this as this is supposed to be the same kind of training. But we looked at the fact that, you know, it might be a training, let's say, for craft, and in Mpumalanga, it might be a training in knitting. For us, we didn't look at it as if it would be taken as one training. But because it is under one training program, which is Bafumile training scheme, it had to be an irregular expenditure. If we had noticed this or picked it up during the financial year, maybe we would have returned to National Treasury and tried to rectify the transaction if there was that opportunity, but unfortunately we didn't pick it up. Hence, we had to disclose it as irregular.
Chairperson? There was a question that was asked around co-ops in KZN that are that have complained that we've requested payment to be made. We will investigate and follow up on the issue, and if there's, I will report back on the findings as soon as we are able to have any concrete evidence of the claims. I'm also told that last week a team went out to start the investigation. Thank you. Chairperson, there was a question on TVET that my colleague from CEDA, Maj Gwadamba, is going to help us respond to. Over to you, Maj.
Thank you, Acting DJ and members. The question was on the extent of job creation from the TVET. As it is now, the TVET is a new program that started rolling out only last year and taking off this year. But when we closed in the last financial year, we already had agreements with eight TVETs for incubation programs that we called the RAPIDS, including the CF, to get going. Our approach is that for each one of the eight, we have agreed we are taking eight learners from that place of learning to be part of this program. So as it is now, 20 times 8, that's about 180 learners that are participating in this program. In terms of the, so that number is the number of learners that would have gone through the first 6 months of the Centers for Entrepreneurship, which is more of the theory on enterprising part of the program, and then the last 12 months being the technical training and enterprising on a technical concept, preparing that concept for a business initiative that the learner will graduate with when leaving the center. So of the CSE component as well, in addition to the number I'm talking about, there will be an additional number because in some of the TVETs, they would open the CEF Center for Entrepreneurship for more than the 20 because they are just as well promoting entrepreneurship in that institution. However, so for now, we are tracking the numbers in terms of the learners at the center. It's only after the first cohort has graduated, which will be 18 months from about June, that we will start now tracking them in terms of when they have graduated, how many enterprises or how many jobs are created out of their enterprises. That is it in short. But I may as well indicate that the spread of what we have currently, it's across all provinces. The only province we are still finalizing one or two matters on is the Eastern Cape.
And then on
cooperatives, perhaps if I may just, because an answer was touched on in the responses that have been made, but I could as well indicate that on the part that has been assigned to us as CIDA by the department to work on cooperatives, in the year we are reporting on, we have about 118 cooperatives across the country. And of those cooperatives, I could say 42, there are secondary cooperatives. And I could say about 55, I'm sure of the 50 number, 255 though, they are in agriculture and agro-processing, which makes this subsector in terms of agriculture and agro-processing being the leader in the cooperatives that we have. And again, tomorrow when I am presenting, I will also ensure I provide a summary to say how many cooperatives do we have in each province. Maybe I could do that quickly now because I have it in Northwest about 14 cooperatives we have, in Mpumalanga about 42, mainly in the agricultural area, in Limpopo about 11, in Northern Cape 15, in KwaZulu-Natal, the ones we are working on that are in this portfolio. There are others that we are carrying forward from the prior years, but we are counting 6 for now. In Gauteng, 10, in Western Cape, 12, in Free State, 8. And I must mention that of the secondary cooperatives, we are beginning to make headways in terms of linking them to the value chain markets. As an example, some of our cooperatives now are working with companies like Pick and Pay here in the Western Cape. As an example, I can mention that there are cooperatives that are currently servicing Pick and Pay. Some of our cooperatives that are in the incubators as well, I can make an example of that in Mpumalanga. They are also exporting internationally, those that are in the flower industry, in the vegetable production.
So we are beginning to see what works for us to establish this linkage in terms of the value chain. And I think when I was talking about the CFEs and the RAPIDs, the incubators, I forgot a small thing. There was a question that was asking in which sectors are they in. Primarily, these incubators in the TVET, they are in ICT, in engineering, in metal fabrication, in renewable energy. That's a mix which would be more in welding related activities. But what happens is that greatly we would also track the activities in terms of training focus of that TVET, and we direct the incubator along that stream. Thanks.
Thank you, CEO. I'm not sure if we've, there are questions that you've left out, Chairperson.
The Deputy Minister, and then thereafter, if there are follow-ups, but Deputy Minister?
No, thanks, Chair. Just as a concluding remark, there was a question from Honorable Charles in terms of CEDA and CIFA role, and are we in a position to say, are they going to merge or whatever? I think that is a discussion that is still within the department to look at, because as you know, we had then to look at their different mandates since they were conceived outside the Department of Small Business. Like CEDA, it was established during the DTI, and CIFA is coming from the Economic Development. So in terms of then looking at those two and their mandates and what then they can translate to in terms of the small business, it's an issue that we're still discussing. That's why there's no answer that is coming from. But it's a work in progress that we can report maybe to future meetings, but not now. Thank you.
I'm noting Honorable Kruger.
Just a second.
I'm noting follow-ups. Honorable
not a
Kruger.
Follow-up.
It's not a follow-up. Okay, go ahead.
Follow-up. It's one of my questions. Rather, maybe I fall asleep somewhere. Because it was about when are they planning to table the amendments on the small business, National Small Business Act. Mm. I didn't get that answer.
Okay.
So it's not a follow-up.
Okay. Deputy Minister, Ting DG.
Maybe, as far as I know, is that there were stakeholder engagements and workshops gathered from the 9 provinces, and those are still being looked at, I think, to try and see what is it. But in terms of the legislative process of Parliament and the year of government business, we are looking as to when then can those then be introduced. There will be cabinet committees, cabinet, and then open to the public and all those. So, but I'm sure the actual maybe that the DG can add from what I've just said, I'm sure can also add really, but this is where we are as far as understanding the review or the small business. Thank you.
Deputy Minister has covered the issue. I think what in our APP for 2016-17 we said it would be tabled, but as DM is already indicating, the parliamentary process and timelines would dictate ultimately, because the national consultation processes have taken place. The last one I think took place now in September. Early October, late September. So we will report back, I think, when we come back for the program review on how far we are, or reporting for quarter 2 weeks, which I think is also coming towards the end of November, so that then we can update the committee on how far we are in terms of the performance of quarter 2.
Let me note, Honorable Kruger, Honorable Honorable Chance,
Not a follow-up.
But let's just take it. We'll take you first. Okay. We'll take you first. Honorable Chance. Any other follow-up or a new question or whatever? Yeah, then let's get Honorable Chance and to be followed by Honorable Kruger.
Yeah, going back to the question of the consultation on the amendment, my question relating to how was it advertised and who attended these consultations has not been answered. So maybe before we go on to my follow-up question, that could be addressed.
Okay. Acting DJ?
If we could please respond to this, because the colleagues that are actively on the ground with this issue not available to respond, or we could provide a written response if that's allowed.
Okay. Is that acceptable, Honorable Chance?
When do you think you could provide that written response?
I'm certain by tomorrow or late afternoon, because the gentleman that's going out is actually trying to contact the unit.
Okay. Can I just do my follow-up question?
You want to? Okay.
Yes.
So let's accept tomorrow, although you're offering today. Let's take it as tomorrow. And then on the follow-ups, it's Honorable Kruger, then Honorable Chance.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think about the rest, I think we must revisit the answer, but I will talk directly to my friend over there after the meeting about the rest, because I don't understand the answer. So, but it might be me.
No. If you don't understand the answer, re-ask it.
Yeah,
but work on it so that the department works on it until we find each other.
Maybe I will do it in a written question and then everybody can share it. Yeah. But in any case,
but let's see, Honorable Kruger.
Yeah.
Where are we missing each other here? Are you saying?
No.
Let me not translate. Let me ask you to rephrase the question.
The question is straightforward. I just want to know how far are they with this red tape reduction strategy of the department? And the answer was they don't look at red tape anymore. They look at the bigger picture. So I don't understand what is this bigger picture.
Yeah.
Because red tape is a specific problem in small business.
Yes.
And I think it's the third biggest concern of small businesses. If you talk to a small business, you know, apart from capital and markets, they say red tape. And I can understand the one-stop shops or the co-location points that is going to reduce retail. But surely, as the department, they must come up with a strategy. And I don't think we have see that strategy yet. And that was my question, actually, is where are we with that strategy? I didn't go to page 45 in the report, maybe I must go and visit that page first and then ask the question again. Because I know.
Yeah, but let's just take it that you have re-asked the question and
yeah.
Then it will be re-answered and then we take it from there.
Okay.
Babukapa and then Babu Chance.
Just the one point. And the second point is about the act again, the National Small Business Act. The follow-up question is there any draft bill, if there's any draft bill on the table yet, somewhere, that we can most probably look at before the end of the year?
Okay. Well, Jeff?
Thank you, Chair. I think, unfortunately, the question I asked was understood not to be user-friendly. although I thought the other way around. I thought it's supposed one to be too user-friendly. Because I was saying, here, the department can assist us by providing facts that say, despite this, we had these targets, but because of ABCD, whether it's capacity or what, we were able to go so much beyond these targets. So that you do not believe that someone deliberately made them low so that the performance could be rated high. That was the one. The other one was saying the vacancy rate also was having a problem. The other part I was saying is supposed to be user friendly also is that the department is in a position to say, despite all these are the challenges, so that no one can say, no, these facts prove that actually the personnel you have is the one you require, you don't need more, because with what you have, this is how far you can go, so that they can even say the constraints and all the possibilities. Now the last one is the one which would say, was it not possible that in the mid-term review, it could have been understood that some things could have been changed in the process of understanding that there are these tenets and possibilities in the process stage.
Honorable Chance.
Thank you. Just one request and one question. Would it be possible for the department to inform members of the committee which events and exhibitions it is participating in advance, so that we have an opportunity? Sorry?
Invite us.
Yeah, invite us, because I mean, I think one of the things that we value is the opportunity to engage as broadly as possible with the stakeholders in this game, and see, you know, what you're doing likewise. And generally speaking, these organizations don't approach the committee, they approach the department. So it would be helpful if we were to be informed of which events you are participating in and being invited to them as well. Then, as far as the question is concerned, I'm wondering whether the department has had any interaction with an organization called Catalyst for Growth. The reason I ask that question is that this organization, which was set up as an NGO last year but has been active in South Africa since 2012, which is a joint venture between the American bank J.P. Morgan and the Dahlberg organization, has set out on an extremely important piece of research, which is to examine the effectiveness and impact of business development services, BDS, practitioners in this country, starting with Auric Incubator and Raise Corp, and I think a sample of about 20 businesses that they were supporting. And then latterly, a report on a much larger sample, which is aiming to try and establish best practice in the field of business development services. And I think it makes the point that there is a huge amount of effort being put into this, not just by your department, but also by other departments and many other people in the private sector. But so far, there hasn't been a lot of research done, both desk research and also primary research on the effectiveness of these services. Now, in view of the fact that you have a constrained budget, would it not be an idea for you to have a conversation with these people who have access to significant resources, have already done the research, or certainly a lot of it? And maybe it's something that you could come back to the committee with if you can't give us substantial answers today, as to what the department is doing to answer some of these questions. Because it goes back to the earlier point that I made, that the department's role is really, it should be, and this is, you know, going to be addressed in the policy review discussion, strategy, policy, monitoring and evaluation. That's actually the key role for this department, in my view. And it's a very, very important thing that is going to be able to consolidate many of the activities in this field and put the department in a position of leadership
And people have been asking for you know, ever since the department has been formed, you know, where's the leadership? Where's the coordinating role? Related to that is the relationship that the department may or may not have with an organization called CIMADISA, which was set up a couple of years ago by some South Africans who are active in setting up businesses mainly in Silicon Valley. And this was actually before the Department of Small Business Development had been formed. So they formed a relationship with the Department of Science and Technology, which relationship is still you know, going on and is quite healthy. But this department, sorry, this organization, CIMADISA, which is based in Sandton and has a growing membership, is positioning itself as an aggregator of content and expertise and relationships and stakeholders, and, you know, essentially putting the entrepreneurial ecosystem under one roof. But in a meeting I had recently with the CEO of CIMADISA, she was really pulling her hair out at the lack of a relationship with the Department of Small Business, mainly because of the perception, which I think is probably true, that the department has historically focused on the very bottom of the heap of the pyramid, small and micro businesses, rather than high growth potential businesses, which isn't to say that, you know, both of them aren't valid. So the question then is, has the department had any relationship with CIMADISA? There's never, I don't think we've ever had this discussion in detail in this committee. And if not, would it not benefit the department to have a similar discussion with them as it should with Catalyst for Growth and other organizations that are active in this space? I'd be very interested to see, in fact, when the program for the colloquium is published at the end of this month, whether either of those two organizations has been invited to present. And I would strongly urge that if the department has any influence on that program, that they are invited to present, because I believe that they have substantial value to add to this space, which I think everybody at that conference could gain something from. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Charles, when you say invited, you mean to be part of the colloquium, not necessarily to present in the colloquium. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean to present in the colloquium.
Yes, because I think I'm not sure that we are placing that question appropriately. Because it's a broad question that says what must constitute the colloquium, organizations that must present, who are they, you know, all the characteristics, but who determines who presents? Are we saying when we are in a meeting like this, all of us can suggest and say, yes, I want my organization there, not mine, I mean, that organization there, CEO Kubega, make it part of presenting. Because presenting and attending can make a major difference. I don't know, but let's say that the department should note this and discuss it with the CEO of CEO Kubega, because I think you'll agree with me that if we take this approach in this type of meeting, we will be handling something that's beyond our chewing capability. But it's my comment. But of course, this comment is made more to the department. They will reply themselves. I have also one question that was not well answered, or not to a point where I understood. when I asked the question about the outstanding posts at senior levels, very senior levels, that if the department does not appreciate how critical it is to have such posts filled, the repercussions will ripple down, and by the time we look at the effects, it will be affecting many areas in the middle and right at the bottom. But over to Deputy Minister and Acting DG. Oh, Babu Bekwa?
No, before that, Chair, I think this one is not in this presentation. But, Chair, there's a concern, I think, from all of us as a committee members. Every time when we sit here, we always say the changing of the name, small business development, but cooperative is not there. I don't know. What is it that we don't do it right so that this name can be in there? Thank you very much.
Okay. Deputy Minister Acting DG.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me try and give you those that are easy, and then let the difficult ones be answered by the accounting officer who's here today and the team. Let me start with the last one. I think it's much more easy to answer that one. The changing of the department in terms of the name, that resides with the presidency. Because if you look at the proclamations and all it takes, it has to come from them then to amend. But then it's a long process. I'm not sure whether the acting DG can answer to that. It's not just a short process that you tell the presidency this is how we want the department to be called. It has to go through a rigorous process and change public service administration, etc., and all that, and then come to the changes. So how far that process is, I'm not sure. Maybe the minister can answer better whether she has raised that in cabinet or not, and what are the issues then that has to be followed. But it's not just an easy process that you go and tell them that they change. But I understood that in the way they've put across, they came with the name of the department, it was not excluding the cooperatives per se. Because your cooperatives are more or less a survivalist small business type of. But I think then we can wait and show from the minister to hear as to what were the discussions with the presidents in terms of changing and the time frame that you have to follow. The second, I'm sure Honorable Bekwa will have the patience, I'm sure, to wait until we change. But we cannot just change that name as we wish to, as the department. The questions raised by Honorable Chance in terms of the issues that we have to deal with as a department, but also looking as to tapping on the different organizations like the two that he has mentioned, the Catalyst for Growth as well as Simodisa, or Sedisa, I'm not sure the actual name. I'm not sure whether the acting DG will have the answer, but to me there's a variety of organizations that approach the department to say, can we get a slot to come and tell you or brief you as to what we do, and we believe that we can have some relationship and all that. So, but the two are not sure whether they've, they've been to the department or not. Maybe the acting DG can have the answer. But surely, in terms of who we work with and not work with, is not something that we can say we'll work with this organization or not this one. It depends as to what their mandate is, and it depends as to what is it that they're doing. Working with the non-governmental organizations or the NPOs is done, but then it must relate exactly to what we do as a department. And also we need to understand the organizations before, like where do they get money, what is the ultimate objective throughout and all that. So it's not a wrong thing, it is a right thing that Mr. Chance is asking for. But let's not only pick the two. To me, let's look at broadly within the different aspect of what we want to achieve as a department, which can be the NGOs that we can work with. But we have tried, I think, to do that in many of the outreach programs. We work with a lot of other departments and other NGOs who have the same objectives in terms of trying to support the small business sector and cooperatives. So to me, I would say let's not only deal with the two, let's look broadly, but it depends with you as a committee then to say you want to deal with the first two, then you can look at the others next. But as the chair said, it can go to the organizers of the colloquium because they are doing it in conjunction with the department to say, can we have these organizations that to come present or they've got a good reputation or history or whatever. Let's look at it that way. But approaching these issues, I think to me must be in a multi-pronged sort of, not only concentrating on the bottom level only, but you must look at broadly the small business in South Africa. And what is it that we need to do to, in order to change or support that in terms of our mandate? Yes, surely we are there as a department to make sure that we can monitor, do whatever, but I think with the limited budget that we have also limits a lot of what we can do as a department, surely. That has been noted, that with that budget you cannot do much, you do more with less. And yes, we need then other stakeholders then to work with you as a department so that you can be able to deal with your ultimate mandate. So going forward, I'm sure these are the issues that we'll be able to really sit down and deal with them. The red tape as a final response from myself, I think it is on page 45 and 46. The two are talking solely to the red tape issue. But when I look at it, it says we have to open it up more so that we are able to deal with the issues raised. But part of what I've read in terms of what are the stakeholders' issues, it was raised sharply in almost all the stakeholder discussions that we still have forms, the application forms that are not really small business inclined. They are still, of course, I mean, these came from DTI, whatever, which we're looking at expansion programs, not necessarily startups or people who are already there, not having 1 year or 2 years, but with a turnover that is required. So surely, on that point, we are one with the portfolio committee that we need to look at this differently and to make sure from those issues raised from the stakeholder discussions, where small businesses were themselves saying we're still confronted with a lot of unnecessary red tape, as Honorable Kruger says. We look at those inputs because some of them came with their recommendations to say we can do things differently this way. If the department can look at it and maybe try to help us then to make sure that we can be able to deal with these issues. But some of them have already done work out of the pilot project that we did, as explained before. That we started with two municipalities or five or so, but we expanded more than 12 municipalities that we have to deal with this, because for us, it's not only at the national level, is also provincial and the local government, where we need to deal with this jointly to make sure that we do away with this thing. But it's not just easy that we can do it today and then next month we've got the results. Some of them can even go to amendments of what do we do, but also goes to procurement in terms of the systems that we have, in terms of what then we have to follow suit. So some of them will be like, if you look at the 9-point program, that was talking about unlocking the potential for small businesses, township revitalization and rural businesses. Part of that was for us as a department to come up with those issues that still stand as impediments then for, you know, rural people or even your survival is not accessing what we have because they still look like they were in the DTI then with looking at broadly expansion programs of people who are already there, but not making space for entry into the market. So we are working on that broadly to link it up then to say, out of the amendment, surely you'll have a lot that will be talking to the red tape in a way, so that we change how we operate and how we can reach out to those people that are very needy. I think in some of our entities, CEDA and CIFA are looking at that as well in terms of how can they reach people who are already there, who have not yet completed 2 years in business, but they've got the potential, I mean, upon being assisted then to grow and then to try and make sure that they can be part and parcel of grooming them, mentoring them, supporting them and all that. So red tape issue is an issue that really we've taken from that and we want to expand it more so that we can be able to see much more better. We are with you, Honorable Kruger, on that particular issue. But on some of them, we've already implemented a lot. For example, if you look at the application to cooperatives incentive scheme, CIS, it was about 16 to 18 pages. It has been reduced to three or four. It is the maximum that people are then entitled, can access the CIS scheme. That was after listening to lots of people who were saying, this is too much. It's like, you know, you are doing a thesis. I mean, you are asked too many questions that some of them can be dealt with by officials if they want to go and visit the co-op and ask them questions like, for instance, questions that were part of the initial 18 pages were that, what are projections of the cooperatives over a three-year period? What is it that you'll be doing in terms of market access and all that? Some of them, the cooperatives may not have the expertise because these people who are cooperatives are not accountants. They're not bookkeepers, but they just have an idea that they want to come together and do business. In terms of them, they're calculating projections. They'll end up calculating wrong. And if they calculate wrong, then the applications won't be accepted. So that's one part that then the department at the time used to go to these people, assist them, and then they're able to get the forms then to be shorter and then to be accessed better. But it is work in progress as well. It might not be quicker, but I think ultimately we'll deal with it. Thank you. I think the accounting officer can then follow and the team. Thank you.
Hello, William. The question that was asked around target setting, why is it that you set a target of 3 and achieved 37? Dr. Mukumani will assist with that one, Dr. Kaka. And corporate services will then respond to issues that, because I think what Dr. Kaka and Chairperson are asking are similar in terms of, do we know the impact of not achieving targets in relation to the vacancy rate that exists within the department?
On slide 22, I think Honorable Kaka was referring to the target that we set, which was 3 at the beginning of the year. If you look at the second column, actual achievement 2014-15, you'll see that it's not applicable. So we were piloting in 2015-16. We did not want to come up with a big target and then not achieve it. That's why we thought, let's start with a lower target, which was 3 cooperatives. And we were able to get more because companies like Swan and Fresh Produce, as well as Fresh and Fruit and Veg CTAs, they were very much willing to take products from cooperatives. That's why I think we got quite a big number of cooperatives being linked to the market value chain. But also it helped us to understand and come up with a better method for this current financial year where we are entering into partnership agreements with the private sector. For example, we've entered into a partnership agreement with Pick and Pay so that they can take over some of the product that comes from cooperatives. So it was a pilot in 2015.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Acting DG. With regard to the impact of the vacancy rate, I think perhaps just to step back a little bit, with regard to the the program review, one of the outcomes there was that we need to bed down a structure that supports the mandate of the department. And that is a structure review that we are currently busy with. Now, having said that, it would be prudent for the department to then look at how do we fill critical posts, but not to have a negative impact when we're looking at reviewing the structure. Because if we fill a post, for example, and that post becomes redundant because of the review, that would be, it would be foolhardy of the department to go in that direction. So hence, the key posts that were identified for the financial year, there was a push to fill those posts. The ones that we couldn't fill were the DDG posts, the two of them. As indicated, we managed to fill the CFO post, but only from the 1st of April, as well as the corporate services post and some of the director posts with regard to SMS level posts. There were a number of posts in the administration part of the department that was filled toward the latter part of the year and the beginning of the new financial year. And this had quite a substantial impact in terms of recruitment as well. So if we should talk to the impact in terms of our targets, there's definitely an impact with not having certain posts filled. To answer that question. The other question was specifically around around the vacancy rate and the impact of the vacancy rate being higher than what was targeted also is felt in terms of target achievement. So I'm not sure whether that answers the question in terms of the impact. It's a definite impact. But the emphasis of the department is to achieve both things. To achieve to the best of our ability the target set within the capacity that we have whilst we are busy reviewing the structure so that we can have a structure that supports the mandate of the department. Thank you, Chair.
Just a follow-up. Because you know why we harp on this question? It's because we are also jealous about the department. And then we wouldn't want next year we come here and we find the same scenario. We wouldn't want that. And also the AG's office also showed great concern. But if I'm not making a mistake, I hear you to be justifying. In other words, yeah, we are right. We have done this, we are doing this, we have done this. That's how it comes across to me. I don't get the type of response that says, yes, we note this gap, we note this gap, and we are going to do 1, 2, 3. That's my concern. Because you see, if you don't see a weakness in your approach, you are not going to be able to correct that weakness. But if you think your answer is adequate, we will note it that way, but I'm slightly concerned. Thanks.
Chairperson's concerns are noted. I think what my colleague also needed to add on was that we do have a lot of people who do, in terms of capacity, in terms of the workload, they're carrying a lot more than they should because of the vacant posts. But what should be happening is that what is currently happening within the department is that we are operating, if you like, on three models or on three structures. The department's only approved structure is what we call the startup structure that was approved by DPSA. And at the same time, we inherited posts that came through from the DTI that were not necessarily on the startup structure. Equally so with the program review, you had additional posts that would be required, additional functions that cannot be found on the status structure, nor the posts that were transitioned from the DTI. So what corporate services was saying is that we cannot implement posts that have not yet been agreed to between the Minister of the Department of Small Business Development and the Minister of Public Service and
administration. So what we are doing is we are undergoing a structure review. We have had internal consultations that are still to be finalized, such that our minister can then make her own recommendations or approve the structure. And she alone cannot approve without getting concurrence. We cannot implement if the Minister of Public Service has not approved. So we are alive and concerned around vacancies ourselves as a department. But then there's this governance process that we are undergoing, that yes, you will note in 16-17 that we still have vacancies, not because we do not want to fill, but because we will have to await for the DPSA and our minister to find each other, and once they've agreed, we'll advertise and fill with the necessary speed.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chance. And then let me note if there are other follow-ups so that we can wrap the meeting.
Could I just respond to the question that was asked? A member had asked that we invite them to events, and I think that that's doable, and we'll make sure that when invitations are sent out, they're also sent out to the committee as well.
Okay. Let's take the CEO first. Then from there, let's take the round, the closing round. Hopefully, it will just be one question here and there, so that we go for lunch.
Thank you, honourable members. I just thought I should contribute on the question raised by honourable Chance with regard to the partnerships. I just want to mention that we, as part of our strategy, we identified the need to build collaborative strategies with other partners. And then he mentioned Catalyst for Growth, which they call themselves C4G. So it's one of the strategic partners that we have identified as an agency. In terms of collaboration, it's an institution led by Mr. Sifiso Ndwandwe. So we have collaborated to the extent that we have given signed an MOU. So I just want to mention that we might not necessarily be at a department level, but we interact from time to time with various role players in this space, and one of it is the Catalyst for Growth. So I just thought I should comment on that.
Okay, let's have the last short questions, if there are, before we close. Then shall I take it that we... Honourable Chance?
Yes.
You take the floor.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to sort of follow up briefly on what the Deputy Minister was saying. You know, I think... we all know about the problems that organisations have with gatekeepers, and the problem of information not filtering up the places where it actually needs to be. And the tendency through, you know, any organisation that is, you know, under stress, to allow itself to be a little bit self-obsessed, you know, with its own objectives rather than being an open forum of transparency for the new information coming in. Now, this is not a criticism of your department per se, it's just the nature of organizational structures and particularly new organizations. And I just would like to say that, you know, I mentioned these two organizations just in passing, but there are lots of organizations that are out there that I know have been trying to have a conversation with the department but have found it difficult to do so, for whatever reason. And gatekeeping is probably one of them. Lack of time is probably another. Not necessarily being able to, you know, sort the wheat from the chaff is another. And again, I don't know whether the department has something called stakeholder relations or somebody that's out there actively developing relationships and is the first port of call when somebody phones up the department and says, you know, we'd like to talk to the client about it. Put them through to that person so that person is able to then filter and decide, you know, is this somebody or something or that we need to be listening to or talking to. Otherwise, I think you're going to end up not having the benefit of the huge amount of goodwill that's out there in this country to make this department work. There is a huge amount of thing going on in the entrepreneurial ecosystem that is absolutely separate from what you're doing. And I just think that, you know, that's a great tragedy. And if the department were to spend more time actually going out and starting to develop these relationships, it would actually be beneficial to to yourselves and to the country as a whole. The second thing is, regarding the program review, I'd like to get the department's view on, are you happy with the fact that the program review presentation was made to the committee a year ago almost, and still there is no conclusion, you know, you're still deliberating the review.
Mm.
I mean, it must be very frustrating, you know, to not to be able to fill those positions. I understand totally. But I mean, does it really take a year to review a program review? And you know, why has it taken so long?
Mm.
Is it because you just haven't been able to present back to the committee because of the parliamentary program, or for other reasons? But I mean, surely from an organisational change perspective, you need to try and speed up the processes. Otherwise, it's just going to be glacial, and you're going to be ending up, you know, battering your head against the wall.
Let's get our final responses, and then from there we announce issues about lunch and coming back.
Thank you, Chair. I think the response that we'll provide is around, the other one was a comment, not so much a question on the partnerships. The issue around program review, the program review was done. What I'm talking to is the structure that was required or that is required to enable the delivery of the revised strategic objectives. And in relation to the human resource plan, we cannot implement without having consulted internally. We cannot implement without having gone through the necessary change management program. And as I have said, we are interacting with the DPSA. They've given us feedback and we've gone back for consultations. And only then, when the DPSA officials and the DSPD officials have agreed, can we get the ministers to sign off. And I'm told once officials who do the slogging on the ground have found each other, it normally takes a shorter period for the ministers to approve. But yes, it has taken long. That also concerns us, as I've said, it has put a lot of strain on officials in terms of the workload that has to be carried. But unfortunately, we cannot go and implement a structure that is not approved, less than care, unauthorized, or irregular expenditure.
Thank you. Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Chair. I think just then to conclude the issue on the program review, I understand that you've agreed that we'll come back as a department. Is it the 16th or 9th of November?
11th.
The 11th of November to come back and respond fully to the issue. So let's just do that, because if we answer piecemeal and all that, it may not help us. But the last time I attended this portfolio committee meeting where they discussed in the program with you, the portfolio committee gave us a go-ahead as a department for those where we agreed upon in terms of the proposed changes to go ahead. And those that we still need more consultation on will then come back, I think, and give what is the ultimate. So that is the nature of the understanding I then understood from what Honorable Chance is saying. It's quite true. I think change to me is not just an easy thing. Some people, notable writers, say change is pain. For you to change, to move into something that you are not sure of, then it's much more even problematic. But I think the sentiment, I mean, you shared, as you said, the nature of the structure, you're obsessed with something, and amongst yourself, you don't do that. At first, I could not understand. But at the end, as you said, I mean, it is too long. We're supposed to have done some work today. Unfortunately, government processes, as the acting DG says, are so... Pardon?
Glacial.
Yes, but you know, the structure of government moves very slowly, and you have to deal with all the necessary procedures that you have to do. Democracy is very expensive. You have to do that, or else you then be found wanting, you are sent to court, you are sent whatever. So let's take it in that spirit, that we do get, I mean, the point raised from Honorable Chance is correct, it's an issue that we must try to finalize, but let's try and make sure that we can then finalize agreeing all of us in terms of all those issues that were raised before, so that we are not found wanting for the future. And just to say that on the invitations, I think the acting DG answered, but also mind that on some of these exhibitions, it's not those that we as a department are actually hosting. And my experience is that if you are hosting or piggybacking, the official people who deal with that, they have the latitude to even change dates and whatever, then you just follow because you don't have money. You're just there in partnership, or, you know, it's something that you are trying to get the best, but you are not in control. So money talks. And with the budget we have shown, Shem, it is so meager that you can't even deal with some of these things. But you work with other departments, you work with municipalities, you work with the provincial governments to make sure that people can participate. But fully agree with you. Let's invite members of the portfolio committee to also go and see, so that they are able to, when you come back here, you've attended some of the exhibitions and some of the activities that, I mean, we are, including major ones like the cooperative annual, the International Cooperative Day that we normally, it is rotating throughout the provinces. This year we're in Mpumalanga. Honorable Khoza came to represent the chair. I'm not sure where other members of the committee were, or you were not invited, but let's correct that. Let's give the invitation to the committee. If the committee can be able to send five of the whole committee, to us is a plus if you have that budget. Unfortunately, from our side, our budget is mean and we cannot pay. But if the committee can pay for ourselves, come and be part of whatever we do. We appreciate that. We take that in that spirit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thanks for all the inputs we have received, the responses. Let's adjourn for lunch. Let's try, if we can make it in 45 minutes, that will be great, so that we can start some few minutes ahead of 2 o'clock. Am I right? Can you direct us where we're going to?
Are you going to lock the room?
Oh, okay. Okay. Secretary, to announce where we are going.
we're going downstairs, taking the stairs, then to the right, to a restaurant. Down the stairs. The buffet. Yes,
Let's please hurry it.
No,
please.
Otherwise, it's political problem.
Where are you?
In the mountains.
I'm on the ground.
Yeah. Look, I was waiting for you to renew.
Yeah. and commercial banks. Since establishment, FIFA has created a national footprint and funded many businesses across various sectors through its networks and key partnerships. FIFA has a strong and strategic focus on businesses run by youth, women, disabled persons, as well as those situated in rural areas and townships.
I'll see if I can find somebody else. Okay.
Ja, kijk, ik kan die presentatie mooi zien. Je weet die function is voor dan, dat is een mooie. Maar zodra ik nou op die video introductie echt de link gemaakt, dan wijs ik op mijn scherm aan die projecten. Oké, je kan mij vijf minuten op terug als ik een beetje wil search.
I'm helping my colleague.
Okay, now because we might need a, it doesn't show the video. Do you think this projector can show videos, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's showing video, but not project.
You don't have a technical
problem? He said he's showing a video.
He does? Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And do you have, I mean, this...
speakers.
The speakers is connected to the side. One can't connect it to their laptop.
Okay, what I'll do?
I can borrow you a cable. Then you can connect it.
Yes, through this.
But it will not disrupt this system.
No, it won't.
That's good.